we're asking questions, but at the same time, we're also sort of playing devil's advocate. So I don't want you to take anything I'm saying as disrespect or anything. I'm merely asking questions to try and get information for people that may, you know, have a certain opinion before they hear all the information.
That's no problem. Lawrence has been in Flat Earth for 3 or 4 years, and I've been in for 2 years. And so believe us when we say we have certainly dealt with plenty of debunkers and what we call globers and
we're not coming from a place like that at all, but I think it's just probably some of the basic questions that someone who's never really given thought to, you know, either side of the argument would propose. So cool. And then I think the one thing for us, we usually keep the call around, I'd say, like 30 minutes.
Right.
So definitely want to make sure you guys obviously have the platform to say everything you want to say. And we'll, you know, just really let this turn into more of a natural conversation. But we just always try to, you know, be as concise as possible and, you know, kind of move on through the different subjects within that 30-minute range.
Okay.
All right, so we're about to start recording again, and we'll introduce you guys, Lori and Lawrence, right?
Yep.
And you want to use your names? You don't have to.
No, we're fine with it.
Well, no problem with names.
Cool. Okay. And what are your titles? Are you like? How do you want to be introduced?
Lori and Lawrence.
Lori and Lawrence, and we have a channel on YouTube called Flat Earth Conspiracy, and we host hangouts on it weekly or biweekly, or when we have something breaking that we want to talk about. And so we're kind of known collectively as Flat Earth Conspiracy.
Hello?
Okay.
Sorry, thought it cut out for a second.
All right, cool. So we're going to start recording and we'll introduce you guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, so right now we have Lori and Lawrence. They have a YouTube channel called Flat Earth Society.
No, Flat Earth Conspiracy.
Sorry. I am so sorry.
Let's Flat Earth. Should we run that?
Yeah, we'll
back.
Run that back one more time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We could also do it at the end and just have them plug it if you want.
Oh,
well,
yeah, sure.
It's actually funny because we're about as anti-Flat Earth Society as you can get.
That's interesting.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. One second.
No problem.
All right, so here we have Lori and Lawrence. They're our guests today. They are Flat Earth enthusiasts, I guess. They have their YouTube channel, Flat Earth Conspiracy. And yeah, I just my question for you guys just off the bat is kind of what is the conspiracy of Flat Earth? I know it's, you know, the Earth is flat, but I mean, can you just give me like a general summary of what that really means?
Well, from my standpoint, and I won't speak for Lawrence, but in my opinion, the conspiracy here is the cover-up of the Flat Earth. And this cover-up's been going on since the introduction of the globe about 500 years ago.
Okay. Why would they cover that up? I don't see the advantage of the Earth being round as opposed to flat.
Lawrence, you want to go with that?
Well, all right, let's turn the clock back 500 years, Greg. Let's imagine at that point in time that, you know, there's a lot of explorers about there. Let's, for argument's sake, say that a explorer found that there was an exit from the realm that we live in, Earth, which was, you know, the grass was greener on the other side, and the rulers at that time did not wish to lose all their workers, because obviously it's not a mechanized society then. It wasn't a mechanized society then. It was, everything was manual, you know, agriculture and so on, and they would want to retain their slaves, to put a, you know, a blunt title to it. And if people knew that there was a way out of here, then they may well go if there was a, you know, more opportunities to go and live somewhere else with a better life. So what better way to do it than create a globe where there will be no escape? And now it's gone full circle. The globe has run its course. You know, thousands, maybe millions of people are now waking up to the fact that the globe is impossible. It's got so many holes in it. The powers that be now, they're taking remedial action to create another enclosed world, albeit a flat earth one, if it ever gets deeper into mainstream. But, you know, it's in mainstream now. It was on Bill Maher's show, and you're getting all these big celebrities who've got millions of fans on tweet and Twitter and YouTube. Right, yeah. You know, it's that would be one reason, you know, to stop people leaving. If there was no exit, then people wouldn't even think to try and go and live somewhere else.
Where would they be exiting to?
To another world. You know, we may be within a bigger world. You know, imagine that you've got a caged animal. You know, obviously you can see through the bars and see what's in the wilder world, but we're in a great big world. And if there is somewhere beyond it, we're not going to bother going to look for it if we're told that we're on a ball that is spinning through space at 66,000 miles an hour. We're, you know, that the only way out would be via a spacecraft.
So I have an opinion. I want to jump in there real quick before we move further than that. There's also other opinions, and one very important one, I think, is that the globe is a mock-up of an enclosed world, only in reverse, meaning you can't leave. But also, the globe wouldn't be possible without all of the science that they've added, the reverse engineered ad hoc theories of gravity and Big Bang and evolution and all of the global ideas that are associated with globe. So on a flat earth, it obviously would not have come together by a Big Bang and a collection of dirt and the universe created by expanding Big Bang and all that. So it, for a lot of people, it says that a creator made this, a designer, an intelligent designer made this realm.
I know there's biblical references to it. So is religion attached to this idea?
Of course, there are people who come at it from a biblical standpoint, because there are hundreds of references to a flat earth cosmology in the Bible. But flat earthers range from extreme atheists to evangelical Christians and everything in between.
So my whole thing was, and I'm, you know, I'm whatever, but my whole thing is knowing the earth is a different shape or whatever, it doesn't really change any the way I'm living my life at all. But what you're saying is, so I wanted there to be a reason why it's like, all right, it's flat, it's not round. Okay, so what is the advantage there? And you're saying that there's a new world that we could be accessing, but because we think that the earth is round, we can't go there?
Well, we don't know, because on any way you look at it, whether the earth is a globe or the earth is flat, we pretty much have discovered all the space on earth.
Right. That's what we're going to ask. Just with freedom of travel, would someone have discovered, say, like an edge, the edge of the horizon by now?
Yeah, well, there is no edge. And I'll get to that part in just a second. But going to Antarctica, or going to the extreme North Arctic, there's land there that has never been explored. And that's admitted by scientists. You know, Antarctica is full of scientists with living in fancy huts. discovering Antarctica. But if you go all the way back to Admiral Byrd's trips and expeditions to Antarctica, he said there's a vast amount of land there that's never been explored. And I believe it's true today. Now, some people think that there's a dome over the top of the, you know, realm, and that there's no way out of the dome. Some people believe that. I don't happen to believe that. I believe that there is more land that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. So why don't flat earthers like yourself kind of just venture over there and kind of check it out?
Well, it's pretty extreme.
Yeah, I guess it might not be.
I just feel like it's something that if I believed, I'd be like, I'd have to know for sure.
Right. Right. Well, there's several groups of people that have, you know, talked about crowdfunding to mount an expedition to, you know, go across Antarctica as it's known to us by the globe, because it's a, you know, it's a splotch of ice on the bottom of the globe Earth.
Right.
And that means you should be able to traverse it north and south and east and west. And so far, I've heard mythological stories, but I've never actually heard of anyone traversing the Antarctic continent and the ice pack from east to west and north to south. Actually, there's been reports of east to west, but there's never been a polar circumnavigation, if you know what that means. That means starting at the North Pole, going all the way around to the South Pole and back up to the North Pole in one trip.
Hmm. So where does the solar system come into play? Like if you're saying that there's no edge, and I think Lawrence, you said that's the Earth.
The whole of outer space, Greg, is a hoax. That was the purpose of NASA, to make us believe that there were planets and galaxies and, you know, and space travel. Everything is fake. So NASA makes so many deliberate mistakes, but the people are so dumb that they even when it's right in their face. So, for example, the recent trip to Pluto, where they took a photograph on the image of Pluto, there is an exact cutout of Pluto, the Mickey Mouse character. And funnily enough, Pluto, the Mickey Mouse character, came out the same year as the name for Pluto, the planet, came out. It is so obviously a big joke. And then you've got the word sex written in the clouds of NASA's photographs. NASA don't go into space. They may send some rockets up, but they just fly them over the ocean and go and recover them later. Man has never been into space, because there is no outer space. It's all made up.
How do you explain the moon? We can see that one.
You can see a circular light in the sky, but because you can't go to it, nobody knows what the moon is. It could easily be just some kind of projection that moves across the sky every day. Just because it looks round doesn't make it spherical. I mean, you've got this ridiculous situation where you've supposedly got a dark side of the moon, and the moon rotates, but you never get to see it. And they've got a very hypothecated mathematical explanation why we never see the dark side of the moon. But that's ridiculous. If we were spinning and the Earth and the moon was spinning, then at some point somewhere on the Earth you would see the dark side of the moon, but you don't. They make all the science up to fit their hypothesis, and obviously they've got lots of holes in the grand plan, so they have to make up this ridiculous science to explain it. Same as with gravity. You know, who needs gravity? You've just got density. You know, you've got something that's heavier than air and something that's lighter than air. And that's what it is. Things fall down because they're heavy. Light things will float. You've got the ridiculous situation of, you know, gravity being able to hold trillions of tons of water to the underside of a sphere, and yet a butterfly can just flutter away and escape it. You know, give me an example, one example of water conforming to the outside surface of a solid object. You can't, because it's a joke.
Greg, there's two different planes here we're talking about, and I'm talking about planar planes, one is the terrestrial plane and the other is the celestial plane.
Okay.
What's on the ground is the terrestrial plane. We can observe it. We, you know, live on it. We can tell height and weight and distance and color and all of that. But the celestial plane, which means the sun, moon, and stars, we cannot and have not yet reached any of them. And so that everything in the sky moves across the sky from east to west day after day. And the sun moves at one speed, the moon moves at another speed, the stars move at a constant speed. If you're standing at the equator and you look to the north star, you take time-lapse photography, you see circular star trails circling Polaris. Well, they're not really circling Polaris, so that has to be a refraction of light. And the same thing happens if you're standing at the equator and you look to the south. There's a star similar to Polaris called Sigma Octanus, where you have the same star trails going around. And but at the equator, the stars are going in a straight line. So they use those observations to make us think it works on a globe. And what's interesting is it works on a globe and it works on a flat Earth too.
So wait, I'm sorry. I'm trying to just understand, like, completely going back to the moon thing. The moon, you guys believe that it's a projection from, like, the government's projecting it in the sky?
No. Well, I guess who is that? I think a question a lot of people would have right now is
they, moon power. Isn't they always the big question? Who
always.
Are they?
Yeah. Because, like, when you say the moon, no. Like, space doesn't okay. exist or whatever. It's and then the moon is like a projection. It sounds like, you know, in Batman where they have the symbol that they shoot up in the sky. It sounds okay. like that. So I'm just trying right. to understand, you know, I don't want to get anything wrong.
Okay. Well, there is nothing wrong or right yet. Flat Earth research is a new enough phenomenon that all we all have to go on is the data that we're given by governmental agencies, quasi-governmental agencies, military, NASA, NOAA, and timeanddate.com and SunCalc and all of the data that we can gather. Things like longitude and latitude and where the hell are things and are the coordinates that they give us about where something is, are they correct? And so it's like relearning everything from kindergarten all the way forward again, and having to do that while at the same time getting rid of all of that you've learned that is wrong, that is mythology and conspiracy and propaganda and indoctrination. So do we know what the moon is? No. All we know is that the moon has a cycle and it moves across the sky from east to west. Sometimes you see it in the day. Sometimes you see it at night. Sometimes when it's in a phase, you see the shadowed part, but the shadowed part does not reflect what it should if the sun were lighting it. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's just all kinds of anomalies, and it's pretty hard to start all over and try to observe and create your own science. You know, science is a method. You have to follow the scientific method. And that means observable, repeatable, and testable.
Right.
Is this
Greg, imagine that if you look at evolution, the whole thing is a complete joke. So the Earth was created by somebody, something, at some point. And anybody who has the power to do that, to us, it's pointless trying to use our conventional science to explain what something that is so far beyond our intelligence, to try and explain it, because they've probably got super science that is certainly beyond our comprehension. So the whole thing that you see in the sky, it could be some kind of simulation. We don't know. But what we do know is that we're not living on a spinning ball. I mean, have you ever looked at a globe? Imagine, for example, that you, when you were born as a child, you were told the truth and the earth was flat, and then suddenly they come along and say, well, look, Greg, you live on a sphere. Imagine you live in Australia. You'd say, well,
why don't we fall off
this globe? And they'll say, well, we've got this thing called gravity, which will hold you down. And then you'll say, but I'm upside down. But in my reality, I'm upright. Oh, yes, they'll say. Wherever you are on Earth, everywhere is up.
Right.
Well, if that was true, you could actually make a model and prove it. You could get a globe and you could stick little tiny men with super glue all over the globe, and every one of them would be upright in relation to each other. But they're not. You cannot model the globe to mirror reality. And if you took a long flight from, you know, an 8,000-mile flight, apart from takeoff and landing, the plane will remain perfectly horizontal for the entire journey.
Right.
Now, that's impossible if we're on a sphere, because the plane would be having to dip its nose down severely all the time in order to maintain altitude. But that doesn't happen. I've been on planes myself, and I take a spirit level and I stick it on the little tray that folds down in front of me, and it's level for the entire journey, apart from when you take off and land. So if the globe was the truth, then you could take a globe and you could show me how planes could, you know, do a 360 round the globe and remain level. Well, you know that can't be done. You could show me a man on each continent all standing upright. Well, that can't be done. You could show me how ships could sail around the world remaining upright all the way and without listing to one side. Well, you know that can't be done with the model, but with the flat Earth, all of those things are possible.
That's interesting.
That's just science. And then when you take a look at a globe, just imagine that you stood on a big ball and take a look at the ground beneath your feet. You're going to have some very severe angles there. Everywhere would be either uphill or downhill, but that doesn't happen apart from if you live in a mountainous region. Everywhere is flat. But if you're on a globe, you're gonna have some very sharp, you know, if you were at the equator, you know, you'd be stood out at 90 degrees, but you go to the equator and you stood upright.
So they started telling us that the Earth was flat, round, so they could just keep us here.
No, I don't believe that is the reason. I think the reason is control. And the only way to control the narrative is to control the entire narrative, to control the script. And in order to make people need governments and agencies and rulers and kings and queens and militaries to protect them from wars and everything else, that mankind has been made to feel like they need these authorities. And so the authorities, the best way to maintain control is to put us all eventually in some kind of a Hunger Games concept where, you know, we're completely reliant on governments and rulers and agencies and militaries. So it's a long range plan. It didn't just form overnight. It's a concept right. that was well thought out.
Yeah.
And many of these so-called characters from you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago, like Eratosthenes and Plato and all, a lot of these people, these characters could well be made up. You know, we don't, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought here saying that, you know, our entire history has been rewritten. And of course, whatever appears in the books, we will take at face value, or we did in the past. But especially now with the digital age, they're able to go back to old books and change what's written in these books to meet their, you know, their propaganda. And they're actually doing it. We've got an example, Greg, where there was a flat earth map that came out as soon as Flat Earth took off a couple of years ago. It's known as a Gleason map. And across the top of it, it mentions Modern College, M-O-D-E-R-N. But it should say Morden College. There is no Morden College in Blackheath, England. It's Morden. Morden College is a retirement home for merchants who'd fallen on hard times. And what they did, when we pointed this out, they brought out a book that had got Morden College on the front. And Laurie actually went and bought the book on Amazon. And apart from the front cover, it's got Morden College throughout of it. There's a team of people out there covering the tracks of Flat Earth now, because they have an agenda to make sure that the Flat Earth model that goes out is another enclosed world. So all the big names in Flat Earth, including all those at the conference, which is scheduled for November in Carolina, I think it's somewhere over there in the States, that they're all adhering to the model. There's no room for any dissent. If you disagree with them, you cannot present at that conference. So they've just brought along their own cronies. And Laurie and myself are of the opinion that all of these people there are either agents or they're mind controlled. And, you know, they must have some leverage over these people to continue to push a model that's been thoroughly debunked.
All right, so I have a question here, just hypothetical situation. I mean, for the most part, I think, you know, people in Japan, if they get in a plane and they go east, they'll eventually hit the United States. So if the Earth is flat, how is that happening?
They can go east or west on a flat Earth. Everything, it's very important to understand that the globe mimics the flat Earth, not the other way around. And so whatever happens in real life is explained both ways. It's explained on a globe and it's explained on a flat Earth. Meaning, if I get on a plane from San Francisco and fly to China, I'm going to go which direction?
East.
No, I'm going to go west.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Now I can go east if I just want to go on a long plane flight sightseeing tour, but you know, that would not be very economical. So I'm going to go west and I'm going to get to China. While I'm on my way there, I'm going to cross the international date line, aren't I?
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to get to China practically faster than I left, because it's going to shift a day earlier, correct? All right. There is the only way that we can explain it, and this is one of the hardest things for everyone in the Flat Earth community to try to get their mind around. Lawrence and I are convinced, okay, that we live in a realm. And a realm means that there are supernatural properties to a realm. And it's just as easily understood that if I left San Francisco and I went to China and I got there, I must have gone through time, right? Because I flew through time. And there's only one way that Lawrence and I have been able to explain it and make it simple for people to see and understand. And we call it the Pac-Man effect. Because on a game of Pac-Man, if you go off the side of the screen on one side, what happens? You immediately come back in on the other side. Right. So, but because we just said the word Pac-Man, we immediately got all hammered by those, you know, superstars in the Flat Earth community who say, no, that's crazy. You're stupid. You're a moron. You're going to make us the laughing stock. Well, no, sorry. You guys made yourselves the laughing stock by adhering to a model of Earth that looks like a pizza pan with an ice ring around the outside with a snow globe over the top of it. And all you do, all that's ever happened on Earth is we've just all gone around in a circle. The sun goes around in a circle like a flashlight to light the Earth. And the moon goes around in a circle like a flashlight. I'm sure you've all seen this model. It is the one that you always see, the round pizza pie map. On top of that, none of the continents are in the right place in the Southern Hemisphere. the North Pole is in the center, which is impossible. And there is no ice ring all the way around the outside. That's laughable. If there were, who was it? Amundsen and Scott, Lawrence, would have had to travel how far to go?
I mean, Greg, if you go back to the early 1900s, you'd got Amundsen and Scott who were having the race to get to the South Pole.
Okay.
And they both traveled just under 1,000 miles, you know, using ponies and sledge and dogs. And it took them several weeks to get there. But if you look up the coordinates, the longitude and latitude of their base camps, and then you plot on where the actual South Pole is at 90 degrees south, and you plot that on the official Flat Earth map, those two explorers would both have to have walked 36,000 miles there and 36,000 miles back. It's a complete joke. But they don't address that problem. The map and model that they've used is just so full of holes, but they just carry on regardless and ignore what we say.
Greg, have you guys interviewed any other flat earthers?
We have not.
We haven't. We've spoken briefly to some, but you are the first.
Yeah, well, there's mostly big names out there.
I have to ask.
There's mostly big names, you know.
I have to ask.
They are not honest people,
mm-hmm.
And they have an agenda.
Well,
I have
it's
to ask you guys, hold on, yeah. Please. It's important at this particular moment. I have to ask you, how did you hear about us or me or us?
Honestly, the only reason why I know that people believe is the Earth is flat is because people make jokes and go, wow, that's fucking nuts.
Right.
And I was like, because that's the only, you know, I mean, that's kind of my question to you. How did you even get into this? Also, I have another question. Lawrence mentioned that, you know, we live in a digital era where people can go back and they can just change shit whenever they want in the books or whatever, make up Plato, whoever it was. And, you know, wherever you're getting your information from, couldn't you also say that about the flat earth information where there was people who started this conspiracy and then just started adding all this stuff? And, you know, have you ever even considered the fact that maybe this is wrong?
Okay. Yes, we did. And here's how we did it. Okay. Lawrence was a flat earth researcher before I was, well before I was. When I came in, it was at what they call the first wave of flat earthers, which was approximately January or February of 2015. And that was when, people like Mark Sargent put out his Flat Earth Clues, and people like Eric Dubay wrote a book, Flat Earth Conspiracy, and Math Powerland, you know, I could go on and on with some of the big names, came out and started making, you know, tons of videos and creating practically a hysteria about Flat Earth. And we went along to get along because that was what, you know, everybody, for example, this map and model that we're talking about, everybody was using that in their videos and on their blogs. And suddenly we decided to question ourselves. You know, it's pretty hard to just believe in something because then you're just a cult member and you believe in the dogma of the cult. So Lawrence and I systematically approached it from, well, how do we test this map and model that originally was put out by the Flat Earth Society and a man named Samuel Burley Robotham? And that is the dogma that everybody goes by and repeats and repeats and brainwashes everyone with. And so Lawrence and I started taking apart everything. Robotham, the sun and moon going around in a circle, this flat earth map with this ice ring around the outside, every bit of it. And as we did that, we learned ourselves how to do a lot of things that we hadn't done since we were in grade school or high school, how to apply science to figuring out what is wrong with what everybody believes. And what is right about it? And the basics always are the flat Earth horizon doesn't show any curvature. Well, your eyes make the horizon, not the curvature of the earth. And because it's all as far as you can see, average person can only see 3.5 miles. The horizon line rises to your eye level, no matter how high you get, even if you're in an airplane, the horizon line is still at your eye level. Wouldn't it be dropped down below you if you were on a curved earth? The same thing with, you know, mathematically measuring spherical curvature. If the earth is 25,000 miles around in circumference, there is a mathematical formula whereby you could measure the curvature of it in inches per mile. But on top of that, there's so many other little observations and proofs that in order to actually realistically research flat earth or globe earth, you have to do your own observations. You cannot rely on anything you find on the internet as being gospel, period.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, to be fair to you guys too, really what you're saying is you're not even necessarily adhering to the mainstream idea of flat earth. It seems like you guys
are really... No, we're absolutely opposed to the mainstream idea of flat earth.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but Greg, we're still flat earthers.
Right.
If you take the official dimensions of the globe, yeah, and just do some basic math, you'll find that the average fall in elevation or rise in elevation, if you're going the other way, is approximately 2/3 of a mile per mile traveled. Yeah. So you'd either be going uphill 2/3 of a mile for every mile or downhill 2/3 of a mile. That doesn't happen. So if you was traveling from one of the northern states in the United States to one of the southern states, you could actually get in your car, take the handbrake off, and you wouldn't need to use any gas because it would be downhill all the way. But you don't do that, do you? Right. Because there's, you know, it's not, it's mostly flat. There's a few hilly bits here and there, but it's predominantly flat because the earth is flat.
So
actually I had a question. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong again at any point. You guys sort of believe that this earth is sort of never ending. It's just kind of, there's so much space that we haven't discovered yet.
Well, I think more the idea of a realm.
Right, a realm. I'm just like, why wouldn't, you know, anyone who believes this just go? Because a lot of people will poke fun at flat earthers and say, like, you guys are nuts, whatever, just write them off, not even look into it. Like, you guys are crazy. It's flat, it's round, whatever. Why wouldn't anyone just go to a new area that we've never been to just to show, like, look, I'm here. Like, take a selfie in a new place in the earth and be like, you know, this is a new thing. And it would just, everyone would shut up. Like, why wouldn't anyone do that?
I can answer that very quickly. Okay. There is no end of the earth east and west. Okay. You can go east and east and east until you run out of east and you're back where you started. That's one of the reasons why they were able to sell us a globe. But you cannot go north and south past a certain point.
What happens at that point?
Well, I don't know. And here's why. Because after a certain amount of time going south, you're going to freeze to death, you and everybody with you. Okay. Because there, we do not have the technology. Besides that, there is a treaty in Antarctica called the Antarctica Treaty. And it was just renewed after 50 years that there are rules about going to Antarctica. You can't just go to Antarctica and take off on a trip by yourself without, because all of the areas of Antarctica are cut up and controlled by the different countries that are in the treaty. And so one of the first things you have to do is you have to go and look up the Antarctica Treaty and see what it's all about and read it. And then you will understand that, you know, you can't just go off by yourself. You have to have guides and you have to have, you know, an amazing amount of equipment. I mean, people have tried. The expeditions that went, Admiral Byrd reported, he went, I don't even remember how many hundreds of miles, and he didn't run out. Okay. But yeah. Why? Greg, why didn't he run out? Why didn't he come out the other side and start coming back up, you know, the Southern Ocean somewhere? Because he didn't. And there's no explanation for that.
So the Earth is more of like a cylinder, sort of.
Well,
Greg, let me answer this one, Laurie. Okay. Greg, have you ever looked at a Google map?
Yeah.
Google Earth.
Okay. Let's, for example, say you went onto your computer and in the search engine, you tapped in Google Maps, the Eiffel Tower. So right. You bring up the Eiffel Tower. Now, when you get to that, you can zoom in and zoom out. Yeah, you know the little zoom in and zoom out, but so you can view it from higher and higher.
Yeah, Joe's doing it right now. Yeah.
Well, what the powers that be, they like to hide the truth in plain sight. Now, if you zoom out of any Google map to the maximum, what you will end up seeing is a whole series of Earths, like a wall. Imagine the Earth, the maps of the Earth in a wallpaper where you've got one Earth and then you've got the one next to it and the one next to it and the one next to it. That's what you get on every Google map when you zoom out. You're seeing the truth in plain sight, where the Earth just rolls on forever from east to west.
Repeating pattern is what he means. But also, if you go onto Google Earth and you go to Antarctica and you try to zoom in, you get diddly. I mean, there's the whole areas that are just like white, nothing.
Right. Yeah, we're looking at that now.
Little goofy patterns on there, you know, and little bits of wallpaper looking stuff. And, you know, it's a total copy paste, cut and paste section. And it's the same way with the Arctic. Do you know that it's a no-fly zone over the Arctic?
Well, didn't you say it's, you know, really dangerous and freezing and like no one, we don't have the technology to go there. So it kind of makes
sense. Well, okay. Yeah. Look at it this way. Antarctica and the Arctic both being the top and the bottom. I don't call them the poles anymore. I just call North the top and Antarctica the bottom. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you, each of those areas of Earth has a summer and a winter. Okay. There is such a thing as the Arctic summer and an Antarctic summer. And it's the Antarctic summer is opposite of the Arctic summer. And so there, you know, the Antarctica gets what you would call a summer, which would probably be kind of like, you know, a Midwest winter. Okay. But it would be more easily traveled then than it would be in the wintertime, obviously. But you're talking about mounting an expedition where you would have to travel for weeks and weeks and weeks by ground and not run out of ground, okay? We just now probably have the technology to be able to do that, to keep ourselves warm, to have enough gas, you know, fuel. You're certainly not going to use solar and, you know, carry food and so on and so forth to mount an expedition to go as far as you can possibly go. And I don't think you would run out.
So you think that the poles are kind of the gateways to land we've never seen before?
Yes.
You walk by the other side.
Yes.
Possible. Yes.
Kind of sucks that it's freezing over there, though.
Yeah, well, what if it's freezing, 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 and the sun suddenly gets warmer, warmer, warmer again, right?
Yeah.
You know, people like me who have vivid imaginations can imagine that, you know, the wealthy elites of the world have found it and have set up some, you know, fabulous place where, you know, Shangri-La, and they don't have to deal with the rest of us scum, proletariat. And they're keeping it to themselves. You know, they're keeping the resources and everything else. You know, that's imaginary in my mind. But why wouldn't my mind go there? Because I have never seen it, and I have never been there. Biblical people believe that's where Eden still is, and that it's been frozen off to us. You know, when man fell from grace, so to speak. So there's lots of ways to look at it. The only request that we have as people who have investigated flat Earth is for people to have the open mind you had when you were a child and to have the open mind that you had when you were little and you used to ask why. Why, Daddy? Why is this? Why is that? And you know what happened? The minute you started asking why, you started being filled with the same indoctrination and programming that your parents had and your parents before them had and so on, passed down through time. So if you can go back and look at it from a perspective of my observations say I'm not spinning. My observations say this place is flat. My observations say the sun, the moon, and the stars go over my head night after night after night. Where do they go when I can't see them? I got no idea. But it isn't because we're spinning around, you know, the universe following a giant flaming ball of nuclear something. And so you start to take it from there and just re-envision your own, you know, ideas based on the observations.
So, you know, a lot of people would say it's kind of convenient that you guys believe it's the poles or the North and the Antarctica. It's kind of convenient that it's those places because no one wants to go there. It's freezing. Why would they go there? And that's, you know, they would say it's convenient for you guys to believe that. My question also is with the sun, you mentioned the sun. If that's not a thing, then what is night and day? What is happening? Or someone's in control of light?
Similar okay. to the moon, maybe? Is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm just going to give you the quick down and dirty of what my own observations have created an opinion in my mind so far based on everything I know. And that is, I believe that we live on a flat plane. I believe that it is a repeating realm. I believe what makes the repeat is the sun, the moon, and the star patterns going past us. And that is the only thing that we would ever have to be able to use to designate time by is what? The sun, the moon, and the stars. And when the sun's not here, bingo, it's night. And when the moon cycles by, you can count how many days it takes. It's 28, 29 at tops. So there's a calendar going on over your head. But if it weren't, if you woke up tomorrow and it was just the same kind of light outside all the time, okay, let's just say twilight or dawn or
isn't it like that in Alaska for like months at a time?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it, you would have no way to gauge time, would you? And that's where, you know, the Bible comes in to explain. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars for those reasons.
So you believe that they're passing through the realms as well, continuously?
Yes. I think it's just a repeating pattern that's okay. going on overhead. And
so you don't think that they're like man-made things?
No. Oh, no, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
I do know that NASA and some other agency, you know, it's always attached to the military in some way, has created simulated sun. You can Google that and you can see pictures of it. And they've put these, you know, this so-called large satellite together that has these octagonal mirrored, lighted, some kind of device on them that can, when this thing's fired up, can simulate the sun. All right. It wouldn't surprise me if they made it for the purpose of taking it extremely south and lighten up the place down there. Now, whether this thing can make heat or not is a whole different story. But my point is the sun, the moon, and the stars were created just like the earth was created. It was all created. It was all designed. Now, there are schools now trying to decipher, okay, do we live in a physical realm with, you know, blood and guts and meat suits and plants and animals and everything's real and biological and working? Or do we literally live in a computer program matrix where it would be so good that how would you even know the difference? You know, it would be like Morpheus saying, cue the Matrix, you know, street scene, lady in the red dress thing. Okay. And then you have to ask yourself, well, okay, if that's the case, and that's a whole nother realm of conspiracy, investigation, research, whatever going on, is what's called simulation theory. So all of these things are all coming together at the same time because people have opened their minds. It has nothing to do with being, I'm awake, I'm aware, you know, I'm enlightened. It's just people deciding that they don't believe the crap that they've heard their whole lives. And so they're opening their minds to, you know, think about what are the other options and beliefs that we can come up with based on these same observations.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, go and check out on a Google search for the official explanation as to how far the sun is away. And you'll find it talks about something 500 years ago where a couple of guys 1,000 miles apart were mapping the transit of Venus across the sun. Well, you can actually work out how far the sun is away using some very simple science, because we know the sun is moving in a direct line. And it's in a direct line over the equator in the spring and autumn equinoxes. So when the sun is at 60 degrees to the east, you measure the time it takes to get from 60 degrees to 60 degrees to the west of you. And in doing so, you're forming an equilateral triangle because you've got 360 degree angles. And it takes about 4 hours for the sun to go from 60 degrees east to west. And the sun's traveling at just over 1,000 miles an hour because it's covering the 25,000 miles in a day. It works out that the sun is about 3,600 miles above us. And if you do the same equations with the moon, you'll find that the moon is 50 miles beneath the sun. And it's very easy to understand. And you don't need loads of pseudoscience and made up stuff to understand it.
Right. No, well,
you can do that yourself on SunCalc. Just go to SunCalc, put your cursor over Quito or somewhere on the equator on March the 21st, and then look at the time across the top when it's at 60 degrees. Move it across till it's 60 degrees at the other, and you'll see it took 4 hours to get there. So it took 4 hours out of the 24-hour day. So it's done round about 4,000 miles because the sun's doing 25,000 miles a day. And you just do the simple math. You look up the formula for working out the height of an equilateral triangle, and it works out at 3,600 miles. And the sun itself is about 30 to 40 miles in diameter. It's a little tiny thing.
Huh. Well, you guys have definitely given us a lot to research.
And think about it. Something that was only 30 or 40 miles across, it would be nigh on impossible for something that small to light up a place as big as the Earth. So I'm of the opinion that the sun is just a secondary light source. There is another light source coming from somewhere else that lights the planet up, and something else out there that warms it, because you know, we've got all these, if you go to the Canary Islands, you can go on a guided tour and they'll tip water down a borehole. And a few seconds later, you'll get all this steam coming out. And that's been, you know, they could have done that for thousands of years. So where's all that heat coming from? Now, official science will tell you that the Earth's got a molten core, yet man's not been able to go down more than, you know, about 10 miles, you know. But they want to tell you what's at the core of the Earth, 1,000 miles beneath you. And it's all made up and, you know, pseudoscience.
So, Greg, the bottom line is, as you can see, question everything is the life of the flat Earth researcher.
Hey, I think that's fair. I think we both agree with that.
Yeah.
Cool. So, unfortunately, we have to wrap up. Okay. This was an awesome conversation.
Very informational.
Very informational. I think we have a lot of research. We want to do, Joe has a look in his eyes like he's ready for an expedition.
I'm going to Antarctica.
I think he thinks he can make it.
Joe, there's plenty of people who would be more than willing to fund it and to go with you.
Yeah. But no, thank you. And if you want to just let the listeners know where they can reach you, watch your videos, your podcasts, anything that you have.
Okay. Our YouTube channel is Flat Earth Conspiracy. The name of the website is flatearthconspiracy.com. And we also are on Facebook with two groups. One is a Facebook page called flatearthconspiracy.com. And the other is Flat Earth Conspiracy Advanced, which is a closed discussion group.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Thanks so much for asking us. And I just want to add one last thing, and that is you actually got very lucky getting Lawrence and I to be your first, your first interview on Flat Earth, because otherwise you would have gotten a completely different story of the mainstream Flat Earth map and model, and you would have had to start all over.
Right. No, I think that that's really interesting that you guys kind of have an alternative approach to it, I guess you'd say. But
yeah, we're the fringe flat earthers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like that.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you guys. And we'll keep in contact and let you know when the episode comes out.
Okay.
Cheers, Greg.
Thanks for having us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. You did well there, Laurie. Yeah, you spoke well, so it should come out quite good.
You did too. You know, you're kind of the brainy guy, and I'm kind of the, you know, mystical talk to longer. And so, you know, we gave them a lot to think about. If they're just kind of getting a dose now.
Yeah. Well, it's so obvious anyway, isn't it? So, you know, they'll... Yeah, obviously, I haven't got a closed mind to it, which is a good sign.